What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp, FightfulSelect.com. It's the Backstage Report podcast, and we got plenty to talk about. Let's kick it off right now with this Raw talent meeting that happened just right before we went on the air. It was led by Triple H and supported by Kevin Dunn, as well as Executive Vice President of Talent for WWE, Dan Ventrell. A lot of the same points were hit from Friday, noting that Triple H was still CCO, firmly in control of creative, and that talent relations are not changing. They also debunked last week's Saudi Arabia sale story, that the sale was done, anything like that. It is not done. It is nowhere near done. They still are exploring sale opportunities, which not only are we about to get into, but we covered heavily last week. There's a lot of the insight that you'd be looking for on the list in your boy from last Wednesday, so I encourage you guys to check that out for sure. But Vince McMahon was not at SmackDown. He is not at Raw in Cincinnati. So if you're wondering about those things, there you go. Mia Yim, Angelo Dawkins, Shane Helms, Kathy Kelly, Montez Ford, MVP, Lashley, all set for Cincinnati's Raw as of Sunday. There were a few that were actually at the Bengals game, Angelo Dawkins and Kathy Kelly, but Uncle Howdy was set for Raw as of Sunday's creative. But I've learned that when I get word that the Uncle Howdy stuff is supposed to be on a show, sometimes they're doing backstage tapes, they're doing a lot of stuff like that, and it doesn't necessarily mean they'll be on the show. News on some free agents. Casey Navarro is unsigned. He's a free agent. He had that tryout with WWE in December. Heard that it went well, but they didn't end up signing he or Kylie Rae. Cheeseburger has worked a bunch of ROH shows, but is still a free agent as of now, as is Rhett Titus, who also worked some of those shows. He is also a free agent. Cheeseburger got a lot of acclaim for his training and his in-ring ability over the last couple of years. Colby Carino. Bodyslam.net had reported that he was headed to WWE, but he had tweeted on like January 2nd that he was a free agent. So Body Slam's report was absolutely accurate. He is headed to WWE. WWE just couldn't contact him until January 1st. We've covered that before, but I was told that the call had been made. He is set to go there. Oh, speaking of a person who was around, John Cena was around. And there was a Changed live event, main event, that had a lot more behind it than meets the eye. Austin Theory was supposed to main event the December 30th show in Toronto against Seth Rollins in a cage match. He was pulled from that show and sent to Tampa, where he filmed a segment with John Cena. Now, I don't know if that was for future use, for 2K, for digital, for what, but it was filmed. We can confirm WrestlingNews.co's report that as of November, there were loose plans for John Cena versus Logan Paul to take place at WrestleMania internally, but a lot of things have changed since then, so I don't know if that's still necessarily the case, but we're told that John Cena put in a full day of work during that December 30th appearance, did promotional materials, Make-A-Wish, all that. It was like he was back in the company, is what one person told me, and John Cena wrestling, period. Whether it's Austin Theory, whether it's Logan Paul, whether it's freaking Heath Slater, it doesn't matter. John Cena coming out there, getting the entrance, doing the moves, that's something that you want on WrestleMania. It does not matter who it's against. Obviously, if it's against somebody great and intriguing and special, well, that would go a long way. But I think a lot of people forget how long it's been since we've seen a real John Cena match at WrestleMania. He didn't do 2022 or 2021. 2020 ended up being Firefly Funhouse, which was a lot of fun. He did not wrestle 2019. In 2018, it was the squash match against The Undertaker. That's his most recent singles match, was him getting squashed in under 3 minutes, and it wasn't even promoted. Think about that. John Cena hasn't been promoted for an actual in-ring WrestleMania match in front of a live crowd since 2017. That was 6 years ago. And that was Cena and Nikki Bella against Maryse and The Miz. He didn't have a match the previous year because they did the segment with The Rock. So you'd have to go all the way back to 2015 to see a John Cena singles match promoted for WrestleMania in front of a live crowd. And a lot of people thought that he probably should have lost that, as well as the year before against Bray Wyatt. Really, since The Rock thing, like, it's the WrestleMania appearances for John Cena haven't quite lived up to expectations. And I know I'm teetering plenty into opinion here, but a lot of people thought Bray should have won. A lot of people thought Rusev should have won. The mixed tag match was fun, especially considering where Maryse and The Miz were and how well they did building that up. But the appearance with The Rock was great. But I mean in-ring matches, the guy who helped carry WrestleMania for 8 years. It's just so unbelievable to think that that's where we are. Well, a guy that might be helping carry WrestleMania in future years, Switchblade Jay White. Fightful Select learned that Switchblade Jay White's contract is up relatively soon, and he is expected to leave New Japan Pro Wrestling, according to those in the company. Those that we spoke to believe that WWE and AEW were both interested in getting the former IWGP World Heavyweight Champion, but WWE sources seemed confident they would land him. However, that is far from official, as it was noted from sources in multiple companies that they can't officially reach out to him until that deal is up. Until that happens, there is no guarantee. What I've been told is he is expected to head to America. He lives in America right now. He's got family in America. He's booked for a Loser Leaves Japan match in Osaka on February 11th against Hikuleo. And WWE has also expressed interest in Hikuleo, which put the result of that match in doubt. However, I don't know when Hikuleo's deal is up. Like, I know Tama Tonga's deal is up imminently, like, probably pretty shortly. However, I don't know anything about Hikuleo in that sense. I was told that Jay White wanted to be in the United States. We reached out to New Japan and Jay White. We did not hear back from either one of them. Jay White, the multiple times we've interviewed him, he shot down rumors that he had a deal with New Japan until 2025, like repeatedly shot that down. Now, I believe it was Dave Meltzer said that Jay White told people when AEW started that his deal was up, like he had a 7-year deal or something like that. But Jay White has said that he was never approached by AEW early on and, of course, has been there since, and things have went very, very well. But he did say that WWE had approached him. Now, this is something we'd mentioned in the past. Like, WWE's had interest in Tama Tonga for 7 years. So people say, why are they interested in a 40-year-old? Well, they've been interested in him since he was 32, 33. Jay White is like 30. He's got a decade, at least barring injury. He's also worked, you know, Impact, ROH, New Japan, AEW. He's plenty used to working TV. I thought that was going to be the big news of the week last week. Boy, was I wrong. Cody Rhodes getting ready to work TV again. Sources familiar with the situation confirmed the Fightful that not only is Cody preparing for his return, he's been at the Performance Center to prepare, and he's picked out a couple of NXT stars to help him out. I was told that he handpicked Carmelo Hayes and Joe Gacy to work alongside him, get him ready for an in-ring return. Not that it's any surprise, but Cody has been factored into the WrestleMania plan since, like, November at least, at the very least. Edge, he's not been factored into WWE plans of late. He's been filming either a TV show or a movie of late. As of around that same period that Cody was factored into things, Edge was scheduled to face Finn Balor in a Hell in a Cell match at the Royal Rumble. That report from WrestlingNews.co was absolutely true. I found that out in recent weeks, but it wasn't just that. He and Beth Phoenix were scheduled to face Rhea Ripley and Finn Balor at Elimination Chamber. Again, those were plans. Don't know if those are still plans. Need to reiterate that. There's still a plan for Chelsea Green to come into WWE. She was signed a long time ago. We had actually reported that a long time ago as well, like October, I think it was. Matt Cardona, as of right now, is not signed, despite the teases and all that stuff. Kylie Rae, free agent, is not signed. So we've had updates on you or for you with Chelsea Green, Matt Cardona, Kylie Rae, Casey Navarro, Cheeseburger, Rhett Titus, Colby Carino, Billy Starks, Lady Frost, EJ Nduka, Mads Kruger, just a whole bunch of them over the past couple weeks. It's contract season, my friends. Some other notes. Don Callis was at the PWG show last week. AEW wrestlers at the Clippers game last Tuesday night. Frankie Kazarian is officially done with AEW. He's off their roster page. They didn't seem like he was too happy about the split, but he has signed with Impact. Full on. Johnny Gargano's injury is a legit one. He's hoping to be back for the Royal Rumble. A programming note, The Fightful Awards were delayed until January 19th at 8 p.m. Eastern due to circumstances beyond our control. That is Thursday, January 19th at 8 p.m. Eastern. You guys are going to love it. We're going to have a lot of cool videos. We're going to have some people dropping by that won awards. It's going to be a lot of fun. Gabe Sapolsky was recently at a West Coast pro wrestling show scouting talent. Righteous Reg of Grapsody had actually noted this on Twitter as well, but Gabe scouts for WWE. MLW star Jacob Fatu suffered a knee injury at the recent MLW tapings. A lot of his family was at the show. MLW also brought on a new PR guy who is also actually a former PR guy in Sean Graben. You're going to notice that MLW's PR steps up a lot as a result of this. He did a lot of really good work with Access and with Impact Wrestling and New Japan whenever a lot of those were on Access. He was one of the main guys, he and Cindy, that worked there, that worked in getting them a lot of publicity. Teal Piper, who wrestled for AEW recently, is involved in an upcoming A&E documentary about Roddy Piper. Other notes, that line that Excalibur had about Adam Cole's appearance being a surprise, that was legit. There were a lot of people backstage in LA that did not know that he was coming out and did not know that he was back. He was listed as TBD on the run sheet. For those that have missed it, the last couple of weeks we've had AEW Dynamite plans and coaches, producers, but we also have some stuff about people who were backstage. In addition to Paul Walter Hauser, Freddie Prinze Jr., Ken Jeong, Blake Anderson from Workaholics was backstage as well, as were some others. Also, tons of AEW talent at the Jaguars-Chargers playoff game, which just shouldn't even be a surprise at this point, right? Mickey James spoke to Lars Fredrickson and Dennis Farrell of Fightful's Wrestling Perspective podcast. You guys got to check out this show. They get good guests every week. Mickey said that she would have been in a good place if she needed to retire, but she also shared her feelings about the current state of women's wrestling, and she said that there's more women training than ever before. She said that if she was booked to lose that match, then she was going to take a little bit of a break away and said it would be painful to be away from the business, but imagine that she would be back eventually. She doesn't think that she would want to be a producer. She also confirmed for our upcoming Inside the Royal Rumble 3 feature that she was technically a free agent when working the Royal Rumble last year. We're going to have a ton of backstage stories from that Royal Rumble. It's going to drop this Saturday or Sunday for you guys. And then it'll be up for everybody else on Monday. But I'm very excited about that. I'm a little nervous about it too because it's so much different than the other Inside the Royal Rumbles that we've done. But go back and check those others out because there's just dozens and dozens of cool stories there, and Inside the Royal Rumble 3 is going to be about the shit show, the train wreck that it was. We also talked to Taylor Wilde ahead of Hard to Kill. She was very candid and said that her time away from Impact after she returned was because she was going through a divorce and it was really, really rough. She's still working as a firefighter full-time, and she actually had a reading or a vision from another former wrestler that said that she should return to wrestling. And that's when she was pregnant, and she was like, there's no way. We also asked her about her time as Impact Tag Team Champion. She said she was not kept in the loop about Hamada's Impact release, why it happened, or what it meant for the titles before they were vacated. But she said that the witchcraft character is a bit of an extension of herself. Another interview you all should check out. I spoke to Crowbar in person. A lot of people don't realize how many places he's been. WWF, during the light heavyweight tournament, where they actually talked about him joining the roster full-time to be on the road with the company as a wrestler and physical therapist. ECW, where he's told me that he thought he was the most unpopular guy in the locker room. WCW, where they looked at David Flair and they said, okay, he's popping a number, but he sucks in the ring. Who can we put him with? He was also in TNA. The guy has worked Ring of Honor. He's worked the modern day Impact, and he's worked AEW. He has been all over the place. He told me that Vince Russo actually took a liking to him in WCW, and Joey Janela took a liking to him when he was in AEW, and he was on vacation, or was planning a vacation, I think it was, and Joey sent word to AEW that he wanted to work with Crowbar, who had helped him with physical therapy. So lots of cool stuff there. Now let's talk about all this mess that happened last week. My God. So it all started Tuesday. I broke that Switchblade Jay White news and thought, you know what? You may ask yourself, well, Sean, what the hell does that have to do with anything? I'll tell you why. Stephanie McMahon news broke shortly after that. Stephanie McMahon stepped down. It was told to me that the company line was that she would be resuming her leave of absence that happened last year. Well, I was always under the impression that was given to me by WWE sources that she stepped away because she knew stuff was about to hit the fan. She was on the board last year. She knew the Vince investigation was happening. She didn't want anything to do with that. She didn't want to be caught up in all of that. And there had been some friction between she and Vince McMahon as a result of her entire team being dismantled, a team that liked her very much and that she apparently liked very much and heard wonderful things about how she was to work with. So all of a sudden, she's stepping away. Well, what happens after that is immediately there are talent that are like, what the hell's going on? Does this mean more Vince? What does this mean? Well, what it means is Nick Khan is the sole CEO. Triple H remains chief content officer. It was reiterated to us now 4 different times over the last week. Triple H, still chief content officer in charge of live events, talent, repeatedly stressed to us. Stephanie had said during a meeting with employees on January 6th that naturally there is some animosity before correcting the term to angst about Vince returning. Now, a little bit later, I'm going to get to some points that were covered by some mainstream media outlets because I know that there are a lot of people, and understandably so, that don't look at wrestling journalism as the beacon of journalism, but there was some particularly egregious stuff that I read that was just outright either fabricated or bad information. And let me tell you, there was plenty of that within wrestling media as well. And now we're going to walk through how exactly that happened. There was a lot of concern after Stephanie McMahon stepped down. A lot by the roster. There, it was a hit to morale. People like Stephanie there. Well, I think it was about shortly before 10, maybe before 9 Eastern. I'm watching Blue Streak starring Martin Lawrence. Love that movie. Was ready for a night off, ready to hang out with family. And I see the Brian Alvarez tweet that's monster news incoming. I'm like, okay, what's this about? So I poked around and I found out what it was about. And I was like, okay, well, is there going to be a story out? And I was told, no, there is no story out. It's not going to come out specifically like that. And between the time that that tweet was posted and when I posted my tweet, I think I had 200 Twitter DMs, text messages, and emails, which is a lot. But when somebody who's been in the game for 20 years says monster news incoming, well, people are going to ask. They're going to say, what's this about? So I consulted a very reputable sports journalist who's on ESPN. And I said, how would you go about handling this? And they said, well, you know what me and this person and this person and this person who are at the top of our fields do? If people are asking that much and it is in the general interest of the audience, you say, well, I can't confirm this, but here is the rumor that's going around. And I said, bet. Let's do that. Honestly, I thought that once that was posted, people would be like, oh, okay, so that's what that's about. And that's what I did. I posted the rumor. All the vague tweets that you're seeing, they are about WWE being rumored to be sold to Saudi Arabia and noted repeatedly on the tweet, in the thread, on the shows over the next, not just that night, but the following day. I can't confirm that. I wasn't reporting it, and there is nothing that I've been told that could indicate that this is actually happening at all. We spoke to numerous talent who shot down rumors because, you know, there are people that when situations like this happen, there are some that try to help me, and then there's some people that try to help me, in quotation marks. And, I mean, the people that do the latter, that's a good way. I'll never talk to you again, probably. That's just the nature of the situation because bad information to a person like me that you know is bad information is malicious. And I had some of that coming my way. There were people saying, well, this person did this, this person did that, this person did this, this person did that. Now, I would have also a lot of people who would say, hey, I can't verify this at all, but this is what this person in the know is telling me. And one of those was that somebody asked for their release. Well, that person got back to me within a couple hours and said, I had no idea what you were talking about. Like, I was watching a movie. Had no idea this was even happening. There were rumors of talent discussing this heavily. What talent were discussing heavily were the rumors that emerged online from the Monster News thing and et cetera. There weren't, talent didn't know. Talent weren't told anything. Talent weren't briefed until Friday's SmackDown and Monday's Raw. That was it. There was a lot of conjecture there. And I have to take a look at some of this mainstream media stuff. And again, I get it. I know that wrestling is not the beacon shining light of journalism. I don't even call myself a journalist, for the love of God. I am a media guy. If I could have my way, I would be reviewing chicken and waffles instead of the Scoops game, but pretty goddamn good at this Scoops stuff. And it drove me nuts to see this piece in Axios with a smarmy ass, like, in bold, be smart. Even during his brief exodus from the company he ran for four decades, McMahon held all the power as WWE's controlling shareholder. No deal was ever going to happen without his blessing, and his comeback, while tumultuous, has been well received by Wall Street. Now, some of that, absolutely true. Controlling shareholder, no deal was going to happen without his blessing. Yeah, of course, they were consulting him. Has been well received by Wall Street, an outlet like Axios. That's why when I see people say, oh, well, mainstream media is getting the scoops here, not Dave or Sean or Mike. Well, I mean, the Wall Street Journal was absolutely fed all the Vince stuff last year. And that's okay. That's how journalism happens sometimes. But the Wall Street Journal is not like camping out looking for Vince scoops nonstop. That just ain't happening. It was given to them by somebody who wanted Vince out and wanted to keep Vince out. And that's the nature of it. And I'm glad that story came out, because that story should have come out a long time ago. And it provided a lot more credibility to people who may have been hurt by Vince McMahon and should have had more light shined on their stories. So these stories needed to come out. But when you got Axios saying it's been well received by Wall Street, bro, what the fuck are you talking about? Live event attendance increased. TV viewership and talent morale increased. And that's before we get to Wall Street, where you say it was well received. Because the stock increased in Vince McMahon's absence. It had nothing to do with Vince McMahon returning. It's because there were rumors of a sale. And an outlet like Axios should absolutely know that, especially when they got that smarmy Be Smart tag on the top of it. Unreal. So while one person doubled down on the reports of a Saudi sale happening, another one deleted their tweet at the request of their outlet. Now, as far as media literacy goes, guys, if this type of stuff has some sort of credibility and the person works for a major outlet or a big outlet or even a reputable outlet, it's going to be on that person's website as opposed to just Twitter. It will be somewhere else. Almost always. There are some exceptions to every rule, of course, but specifically something like this. WWE selling would be all over the place. You're going to see a lot of claims that these are all done deals, and I've had that. I've had people say Saudi Arabia, Disney, done deals, as good as done deals, with plugged-in people. And I think you'll know from the WCW-WWF Fusion stuff in 2001, when a deal is done, the world will know about it. And there might be some people that have the inside scoop on it, but it ain't over till it's over. As far as like AEW, Tony Khan, stuff like that, I was told by one person that was familiar with the Khans that said, well, like, why wouldn't they float their names? At the very least, they're getting publicity for AEW in this WWE sale news. So there's going to be a whole lot of people, especially people of influence, people maybe in the positions of power that are more familiar with AEW now, which is a private company. It's been told to me that Vince long thought that Disney would be good stewards of the brand, but I've talked to people within Disney, within Comcast. I can't remember if there was anybody else, but yeah, it was Disney and Comcast. Both companies had employees who had heard of the rumors, but said it would be hard to believe that any major company would want to retain Vince, in any capacity if they could help it. Like, that might be a deal breaker for them. That would affect a lot of things negatively. And I know there's a lot of people that say, well, these billion-dollar companies, they don't know any better, and they'll like Vince. No, they read. They're not going to spend $6 to $10 billion and not do their due diligence. And I had people in both of those companies that said they believe if due diligence was done, that a company would likely look to retain Triple H, Stephanie McMahon, and depending on what he would be doing, Nick Khan, because he's got some really great visions that a lot of people in on the roster take kindly to. And man, when you guys read that Inside the Royal Rumble three-piece, so much of it is about how much the morale has improved over a year. It was at an all-time low a year ago. An all-time low. Vince McMahon booking his company so badly for 2.5 years developed an awful lot of sources for us. They lost confidence, and he lost credibility with them. I believe it was also the Axios piece that said that Stephanie and Triple H opposed a sale. And I was told by someone who would absolutely know that that is asinine, that they knew that that was eventually the case. And that they knew that Nick Khan was brought in to help prepare for a sale. And whether they wanted to or not, it was Vince's call. Opposed the sale, they were actively working towards it. Unreal, man. What a mess last week was. What a mess. Hopefully all that mess did add some confidence and credibility to our reporting. I thought that Jimmy Van taking a look at everything on the Wednesday Listen Your Boy show was just outstanding. Like, you're not going to find many people on that level in wrestling doing that. Brandon Thurston, it's probably it, man. Outstanding stuff. Hope that you liked our coverage. It ain't slowing down. It ain't slowing down at all. Got a bunch of great news this week. Next week is going to be a busy one. Got AEW. Tuesday, Wednesday, I'll be getting some scoops and all that kind of stuff because it's about 3 miles from my house. And then Thursday, I was planning on doing Day After Dynamite with Will, but unfortunately, I won't be able to. So next week, I'll be heading out to San Antonio for the Royal Rumble. As of now, the plan is for Denise and I to do a post show immediately after the press conference that will be there. Hope you guys enjoy it. Until next time, we're out.